Let's have them each introduce themselves to you. They're from the Pittsburgh Savoy Yards. The Importance of Being Earnest opens July 15th and runs through July 30th at the Savoy Yards Studio Theater in beautiful downtown Bellevue. And I'll let you each introduce yourselves, please.
Hi, my name is Anna Gergerich, and I play Cecily Cardew in The Importance of Being Earnest.
Hi, I'm Jordan Hightower, and I am actually the understudy for Cecily, but for today, I will be stepping in as Gwendolyn.
How nice. Now, you're not going to be trying to, you know, elbow your lead or anything. There's always those plots, right, in movies, and that doesn't happen,
I don't think.
Of course
it really
it doesn't. Okay, we'll keep you to a suitable distance from each other.
Thank you.
Now we're besties.
Anna looks scared all of a sudden. I don't mean to start anything. And hello.
Hi, my name is Marcia Mayhack, and I am the director.
Nice to meet you, Marcia. And then finally.
Hi, Larry. I'm Robert Hockenberry. I am the production manager and technical director on this one.
Good to have you back. So who can talk a little bit about the play itself? It's well known to many people, but not to everybody. So would one of you like to kind of explain the basic premise?
Absolutely.
They all looked at you at the same time.
It's such a fun show. It's all about truth and deception, particularly when it comes to romance, and the upper classes of British society. It's really, really a funny show, and it involves a lot of men pretending to be something that they are not and thinking that they are successfully fooling the women that they are trying to win over, when in fact the women, as always, know exactly what's going on.
So it's true to life, Marcia. Is what,
Very relatable.
It sounds like it. What a shirt you've got on here. It says, talk, is it Darcy?
It says, talk Darcy to me.
And Darcy is?
Fitzwilliam Darcy from Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice.
There, you see, I'm willing to advertise my ignorance. That's not a book I've read. I like it. It is known as a really funny play. So what is your character like, Anna?
Sure. So Cecily, she is just barely 18. So she definitely has a sort of independence about herself. She is one of the protagonist's wards and lives in his country house. And then her potential suitor comes to said house to kind of pretend to be someone else that she greatly admires. And jokes on him, she greatly admires him anyway. So yes, she's very young and energetic, but she's very, very fun and very intelligent as well.
And Jordan, you're in the understudy role for that character, but who's what character are you representing today?
So I'm reading for Gwendolyn today. She is the love interest of one of the lead characters, Jack Worthing, also known as Ernest Worthing, to Gwendolyn, at least. And, you know, she is your typical young eligible bachelorette from Victorian England, and you know, she falls in love with this man who is called Ernest because, you know, there's nothing more important than being earnest, apparently. And so she, you know, definitely tries to win over the affections of her mother for Mr. Jack, who, you know, Lady Bracknell is not very keen to let her daughter, you know, marry this person whom she doesn't really understand his societal status or, you know, his economic background.
It's really a funny play.
It is.
I haven't seen it in a few years, but I really enjoyed it when I did. Can you tell us a little bit about what the theater space is like? A lot of folks don't know that you're headquartered in Bellevue now, and I did not know that you were able to establish a theater space there.
So we are renting a what many people call a shotgun space. It's a very long, narrow office space that was a pharmacy for many decades, up through, I believe, the 70s. And then it was an assortment of tchotchke stores that sold collectibles or sports memorabilia or cold beverages or whatever the case may be.
I remember them all, having a... spent most of the last, 30-some years in the neighborhood there.
And so what we've done is we've slowly been renovating it from a very dirty and filthy space into a flex space, so that every summer and then every Christmas we had built a stage. And we set up risers so the audience can see it. There's not a bad seat in the house, and curtains and portion it off. And then the show will run. And then the next week I have to tear it all down so it turns into a big open space where we can rehearse the 40-person operas.
What a great use of the space. Do you find people coming in off the street wondering what's going on in there or knocking on the door?
That's exactly why we have a sandwich board with the logo of the show we stick out on the street. We got all sorts of people very curious stopping by.
Jordan immediately giggled. Are people like auditioning in front of the window or anything?
We've had people converse with us through the glass windows while we're trying to set stuff up. We had some fun neighborhood children during Pirates that kept coming in the middle of rehearsal because they would hear all this music and be like, "What's going on?" And they just walk right in. We're like,
well, yeah.
COVID precautions. You can't be in here right now.
There are advantages to being in our subterranean studios here, the basement. Well, let's hear a scene. We'll recap all the run dates and when you can visit the Savoyard Studio Theater in Bellevue and that shotgun space we were just talking about. Can you describe what we're about to hear?
So this is actually the first scene where Gwendolyn and Cecily are introduced to one another. And as is all too often the case when matters of romance are involved, the two ladies are immediately threatened by each other, but also beholden to the manners of the Victorian society.
Yeah, so I can understand. They must behave as required, yet probably mask their true feelings. Well, let's hear from them. This is the Pittsburgh Savoyards from the upcoming production of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Pray let me introduce myself to you. My name is Cecily Cardew.
Cecily Cardew? What a very sweet name. Something tells me that we are going to be great friends. I like you already more than I can say. My first impressions of people are never wrong.
How nice of you to like me so much after we have known each other such a comparatively short time. Pray sit down.
I may call you Cecily, may I not?
With pleasure.
And you will always call me Gwendolyn, won't you?
If you wish.
Then that is all quite settled, is it not?
I hope so.
Perhaps this might be a favorable opportunity for me mentioning who I am. My father is Lord Bracknell. You have never heard of Papa, I suppose?
I don't think so.
Outside the family circle, Papa, I'm glad to say, is entirely unknown. I think that is quite as it should be. The home seems to me the proper sphere for a man. And certainly once a man begins to neglect his domestic duties, he becomes painfully effeminate, does he not? And I don't like that. It makes men so very attractive. Cecily, Mama, whose views on education are remarkably strict, has brought me up to be extremely short-sighted. It is part of her system, so do you mind my looking at you through my glasses?
Oh, not at all, Gwendolyn. I am very fond of being looked at.
Hmm. You are here on a short visit, I suppose?
Oh, no. I live here.
Really? Your mother, no doubt, or some female relative of advanced years resides here also.
Oh, no. I have no mother. Nor, in fact, any relations.
Indeed.
My dear guardian, with the assistance of Miss Prism, has the arduous task of looking after me.
Your guardian?
Yes. I am Mr. Worthing's ward.
Oh. It is strange he never mentioned to me that he had a ward. How secretive of him. He grows more interesting hourly. I'm not sure, however, that the news inspires me with feelings of unmixed delight. I'm very fond of you, Cecily. I've liked you ever since I met you. But I am bound to state that now I know that you are Mr. Worthing's ward, I can't help expressing a wish that you were, well, just a little older than you seem to be and not quite so very alluring in appearance. In fact, if I may speak candidly...
Pray do. I think that whenever one has anything unpleasant to say, one should always be quite candid.
Well, to speak with perfect candor, Cecily, I wish that you were fully 42 and more than usually plain for your age. Ernest has a strong, upright nature. He is the very soul of truth and honor. Disloyalty would be as impossible to him as deception. But even men of the noblest possible moral character are extremely susceptible to the influence of physical charms of others. Modern, no less than an ancient history, supplies us with many most painful examples of what I refer to. If it were not so, indeed, history would be quite unreadable.
I beg your pardon, Gwendolyn. Did you say Ernest?
Yes.
Oh, but it is not Mr. Ernest Worthing who is my guardian. It is his brother, his elder brother.
Ernest never mentioned to me that he had a brother.
I'm sorry to say that they have not been on good terms for a long time.
Ah, that accounts for it. And now that I think of it, I have never heard any man mention his brother. The subject seems distasteful to most men. Cecily, you've lifted a load from my mind. I was growing almost anxious. It would have been terrible if any cloud had come across a friendship like ours, would it not? Of course, you are quite sure that it is not Mr. Ernest Worthing who is your guardian.
Quite sure. In fact, I am going to be his.
I beg your pardon?
Dearest Gwendolyn, there is no reason why I should make a secret of it to you. A little county newspaper is sure to chronicle the fact next week. Mr. Ernest Worthing and I are engaged to be married.
My darling Cecily, I think there may be some slight error. Mr. Ernest Worthing is engaged to me. The announcement will appear in the Morning Post on Saturday at the latest.
I am afraid you must be under some misconception. Ernest proposed to me exactly 10 minutes ago.
It is certainly very curious, for he asked me to be his wife yesterday afternoon at 5:30. If you would care to verify the incident, pray do so. I never travel without my diary. One should always have something sensational to read on the train. I'm so sorry, dear Cecily, if it's any disappointment to you, but I'm afraid I have the prior claim.
It would distress me more than I can tell you, dear Gwendolyn, if it caused you any mental or physical anguish. But I feel bound to point out that since Ernest proposed to you, he clearly has changed his mind.
If the poor fellow has been entrapped into any foolish promise, I shall consider it my duty to rescue him at once and with a firm hand.
Whatever unfortunate entanglement my dear boy may have got into, I will never reproach him with it after we are married.
Do you allude to me, Miss Cardew, as an entanglement? You are presumptuous. On an occasion of this kind, it becomes more than a moral duty to speak one's mind. It becomes a pleasure.
Do you suggest, Miss Fairfax, that I entrapped Ernest into an engagement? How dare you! This is no time for wearing the shallow mask of manners. When I see a spade, I call it a spade.
I am glad to say that I have never seen a spade. It is obvious that our social spheres have been widely different.
Oh, that was beautifully done
by both
of you, Anna and Jordan. The importance of being earnest. And I've never seen fighting without really fighting, but that was it, wasn't it? The two of them are great. So let's talk about the run of the show. The date I have here in front of me, July 15th to 17th. So that's this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then the 22nd to the 24th. And then finally the 29th and 30th. A good long run. And what's the capacity of the theater, Bob?
Our small
or Rob, theater. I'm sorry.
It's a 65-seat theater.
Okay, so what an intimate show, but that also means it's a good idea to consider getting tickets as early as you can, and you could do that at pittsburghsavoyarts.org. We're right online. You can go to the website, click on the big word. Well, first of all, read about upcoming events, too, but then click on the big word tickets, which I just did, and voila, there is all of the information. Anybody else want to add anything about the production or maybe tease us about what else is going to be happening later this year?
So we are unfortunately unable to perform in our usual home for the operas this year because the Carnegie is undergoing some wonderful renovations to fix the plaster and get modern lighting and remove that piece of plywood that looks like it's going to fall on your head for the last two decades. So we are going to be performing at the Masonic Lodge in the North Hills.
Oh, very nice.
So we are doing Gilbert and Sullivan's The Sorcerer in October. And then back in Bellevue, we are doing A Christmas Carol, my own adaptation of it, actually, for our Christmas show. And then in the spring, to conclude our 85th season, we are doing the Pittsburgh premiere of the only Gilbert and Sullivan that's never been performed here, Thespis, which is the lost one where the score was lost and we believe ripped up into other shows.
Wow, that's going to be very exciting. Well, you can learn more at pittsburghsavoyarts.org. Any words from the rest of our reps here today? Always want you to get the last word.
I'll just say that I think this show's really worth seeing. It's been a team of people who are coming in and bringing their all every night. Independently and together, and it's been really beautifully just watching everybody's pieces of the project come together. That's my favorite thing about theater, and I think that's what makes it worth watching.
What all happens, it opens July 15th, and it's great to be able to have live audiences in the house again, so I hope folks will come to see you. Thank you, Savoy Arts.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.